Vivek? Is it Vivek?
Maybe.
Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy. He is an Indian-American, but he's born here. He was born. He's a millennial.
He'd be the first. Like 37
years old, dude. He would be the first millennial elected president, I believe. I would think.
Yeah.
So when I first saw him pop up, I go, who's this Aziz Ansari looking cat? You know what I mean? But, dude, he has great talking points. He's very well-spoken, which is what I loved about Obama. And that's not a racist thing. I want all my presidents to speak like presidents. Sorry, but we've had some real goddamn old buffoons for a while. You know, I'm sorry. Well, we just have. Obama was cool. I thought George W. sounded like a jack-off half the time. Bill Clinton was kind of smooth. You know what I mean? He was all right. You know, but before him, we had the other George. When Ronald Reagan was on, you know, he was good for a little bit, but then he started losing his brain. You know, he wasn't falling down all the time. We had Ford for that in the 70s. He fell down all the time. But my point is, I like a lot of stuff this guy's saying. I really, really do. I've been paying attention a little bit. So I'm not saying I'm voting for him, but I'm saying he's got my eye. You know what I mean?
He just made the debate stage whenever they start debating.
Dude, he's good. I'm telling you, he's smart. I mean, he's a Harvard grad and a Yale grad. You know, he's a successful businessman. That's why he has all the money. You know, he's got all that going for him, but he's not a dum-dum. That's the beauty of it. He's not some career politician or kid of a politician. You know, I really think he has the best interest of this country. When I hear him talk, I go, okay, I want to hear more. I want to hear more from him.
He seems nice, too. And I don't even know if Trump's going to debate. Or not. He said he wasn't. So I don't even know if he's going to debate. But how is he going to react when Trump starts insulting him?
I think this guy can handle it. I don't know. We'll find out. But I'm telling you, this guy is pushing against a lot of the stuff that's scary. A lot of this, you know, this stuff we'll get into and what the hell news and everything. But like,
that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
What is your plan to take that on?
Yeah.
Because it's very ingrained deep.
Yes.
There was let's just talk about it now. There was a former head of Anheuser-Busch that was on the I think it was with Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the process that, like, why are these companies sabotaging themselves with this stuff that's very unpopular where they lose all this market share, and
it's mind-boggling, because that's what I said with the Devin Mulvaney thing.
Yeah,
as I was like, why would you do that? It doesn't seem economically sound or very smart from a marketing standpoint. And your answer was, well, they got this young lady that got over that took that, you know, had the position, and she was just pushing her agenda on there. I'm like, yeah, but there's checks and balances before that happens. Like,
well, that still, Bud. You know, the Bud Light brand claims that this was kind of a rogue.
And they decision. Did apologize and stuff.
That's the thing. That's why I really love the Bud Light thing. You know, I don't care about corporations. I'd go to hell. I'm not anti-capitalist, though, by any means either. But the Bud Light thing, I think that was even more how it really went out of control was not so much Dylan Mulvaney. I think it was that interview that came out with that chick.
Yes.
Who was saying, we need to shed the image of the frat boy. We need to get younger drinkers in, which was, that shocks me because it's a product where it's 21 and up.
She doubled down.
How young are we talking here?
Like, yeah.
If a tobacco executive was saying that, you'd be like, what?
Uh-huh.
You're trying to get kids to smoke? You're trying to get kids to drink? But it's just, it's not who, and I think the Bud Light's gonna be fine, I think. I don't know though. Now they keeps going down. The market shares, they're still up. You know, the stock is still up.
Sure.
If you track it back a few years ago, I mean I don't know. Then you had Target that did this thing with the Pride gear
right in the front door when you walk in with onesies and kids books and weird. It was just very weird.
And they're suffering from this too. They lost billions and billions in market cap. And yeah, I think you could argue, too, that people forget, and that's true.
Sure.
That people do forget, and so many of these companies do it, too. It's like, how many are you going to boycott? Because you really need to boycott all of them.
Yeah.
Why do you need to boycott all of them? And this former executive was saying how these firms like BlackRock and Vanguard, who hold your retirement savings and have control of your investments, they invest in all this stuff. They have a score that they put these companies on. You have to follow certain parameters.
The CEI.
And yeah. Lot of it is this kind of woke, quote unquote, agenda.
And you know what's funny too, Will? You know how this is really coming into light, and a lot of people are finding out about it? TikTok.
Social media, yeah.
And Twitter.
In general, Twitter.
TikTok and Twitter, because those are the two that aren't being suppressed by anybody.
That's weird. It's kind of, I was talking with Matt Fernandez about this, like it's kind of like the heckling now isn't just like gay stuff. It's like, what is this, your CEI score? Like that stuff like that. It's a little more literate.
Yeah.
The heckling this time. And it's not really about, you know, hatred for this stuff. It's these companies where people talk about it getting forced down their throats. They don't like that idea of getting forced. And it's because these, you know, BlackRock and Vanguard's give these companies scores.
Uh-huh.
And they say, you have to do these certain things or we're not going to lend you money.
And they came out and actually said it.
I mean, I've seen it in documents. I got really pissed at my friend today. He's kind of on the left side of the spectrum, but a smart kid, smart dude, open-minded to some of this stuff. And he's acknowledged things in the past. And I sent him this clip of, you know, Larry Fink from BlackRock, arguably the most powerful man in the world.
And for people that don't understand what BlackRock and Vanguard are, right?
Like, they hold your retirement. So when you have a 401k, you put your money typically in the Vanguard, and then they invest that money for you and give you a profit on your 401k. That's the way it's supposed
to
work.
But they pretty much have major stock holdings in everything. Everything.
Right.
From housing to the foods we eat. Everything, and it's all starting to come together. Now people are starting to go, okay, Chick-fil-A came out with a big pride thing, and it freaked a bunch of real conservatives out because Chick-fil-A's always been the religious company. Remember, they had the anti-gay stuff ads going on.
Yeah.
Go to find out, they get their chicken from Tyson Foods, who's owned by BlackRock and Vanguard.
And now also Chick-fil-A has a DEI.
They have the score.
Manager now.
They have to have
it. And they have to have it in order to keep getting to be lent money.
Uh-huh.
So that everyone was like, what the hell is Chick-fil-A doing? It's mandated.
Yes.
They don't have a choice, really, if they want to compete in the market.
Uh-huh.
And somebody pulled the clip from Larry Fink talking in 2017. I sent it to my buddy, and I go, I've seen it in documents and stuff, but I've never heard it explicitly talked about the way it was.
Me neither.
It was an old interview.
Until you sent me the clip, I was like, wow, he's just straight up saying
that
it.
That was so blatant, where I'm just like, wow. I mean, like, you see it in writing, and you go, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's screwed up. But here he is. This is Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, talking about the process of why these companies are doing this stuff. Here we go. Hopefully it's still up.
Uh-oh. Make a point of that's an investment criteria for you.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added 4 more points in terms of diverse employment this year.
So that's when he's talking about points, he's given these companies scores,
right?
And that is how much money will be lent to them by doing these certain things. So hiring a more diverse, you know, means, okay, we're going to get more people of color into our business, but it also is discriminatory towards, I don't know, white people.
I mean, on the surface, it sounds great. Okay, you got more women, you got more diversity. Okay, but then when it goes a little further, and when you think about it, you go, well, wait a minute. Now, they're letting you know we're able to force people to think a certain way. So that's a lot of control. You know what I mean? Where's that going to go?
But, and that's what I want to know. What's Vivek Ramaswamy's plan for this?
I don't know.
I know that Ron DeSantis has pulled, you know, money from the state, from BlackRock, but how is this going to work on an individual level where this is their 401ks? I guess it's really going to have to be individuals taking, and I don't know if people can do it. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could go, okay, I need to invest this money and do it in certain ways. Then the companies, you know, match. Are they still going to match if you do it with this other? Like, it's a lot going on here. This is kind of this cathedral system of this kind of relationship between government, and they don't have to legislate the government now because they have decided, and this is where all these people go, Larry Fink, the Davos and the World Economic Forum, all these elites kind of decide what the plan is, and then they can enact it in their corporation. So, you know, the White House doesn't have to, and they align, right? I mean, they're on the same page with this stuff, but they don't even have to legislate it. It just happens in the private sector,
right?
Because they agree.
So now, at least with this knowledge, you don't have to, like, get even annoyed or, God, don't get mad at companies. Like, I don't get mad. Like, if I walk in and Target's got, you know, dildos for toddlers at the front door, I'm not going to be like, wait a minute, and just start making a scene. I'm just going to go, Jesus Christ, dude. And just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, because I understand. Now you understand. They don't have a choice.
That's what I'm saying. They have to do what they're told. The boycotts. You're going to have to boycott a lot of companies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an opportunity, you know, maybe for these alternative businesses and institutions to kind of open. You do have some billionaires like Elon Musk and David Sachs and people who are, you know, pretty well off. So maybe they can kind of fund some of these things
maybe some Saudis
have some sort of separation in the system. It's really a tough road.
Yeah.
And I want to know what Ron DeSantis's and Donald Trump's and Vivek Ramaswamy and what is planned. Do you want to hear the rest of this? It's still got a little while.